you know, I like what John Corson says. He says, read your Bible and pray every single day. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of believers out there. I used to be one of them who reads the Bible once a month if it's convenient and it's 5 minutes before bed. Or you get your daily Bible verse. Not knocking that. I think that that's a cool thing. But then you get it outside of context. And you're not receiving the full counsel of God.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
So, I hope everybody's doing well in this ridiculous heat, especially on this side of the country. I don't know how it is there for you, Mike, but today it was, like I said, it was 99 in the shade, and forecast said 111 down in town, so I'm not sure what it is up here where I live. It's supposed to be 114 tomorrow, so.
You know, that's a great reminder that if we think it's hot here on Earth, it's going to be hot in hell for those of us, well, those of you that don't believe in Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to say, us? I don't know. Maybe one of these days we should just pick a book of the Bible and go through the whole thing, because topical can be kind of difficult, and I'm always the one to pick it because everybody's like, go ahead, you pick, right? So zeal has been something that's been on my mind lately, and I don't have a definition pulled up here or anything like that, but it in my mind, what I see when I hear the word zeal is I see Jesus turning tables, right? Cracking the whip at the temple because these people are violating the nature of God, right? The personality, the person of God. And so lately I hear a lot of things that seem godly, and I think we talked about this here recently, things that have an appearance of godliness, right? But they're really not. And so I deal with some of that stuff, and usually things don't get under my skin so much, but when I hear something having to do with taking God's name in vain, and I mean that in a literal sense, I don't mean that in saying OMG, what I mean is you're doing something in quote unquote God's name that is counter to God's word. Mm-hmm. And that drives me nuts. And so I think that is some zeal for the word of God, some zeal for our Father in heaven. Say, for example, you have a friend who, I've heard this one before, got a divorce because they thought it was God's will. Right, they left their wife for another because they thought it was God's will. That's taking God's name in vain. Mm-hmm. And that lights a fire in me. Sort of a fire, I guess, of correction. Because I can't stand it when you're going to put God's name into something that is completely against God. So that's what I see as zeal. And you probably have a better definition than me, Mike, right? I mean, you're...
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. Don't oh no me. That soul patch speaks wisdom.
That definition, zeal, is beyond. You know, when we're kind of chatting through the topic, when you said zeal, I got the picture of Paul the Apostle.
Oh, right, yeah. He even talked about it, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Jesus, you know, growing up in a Southern Baptist church, you got the hellfire brimstone guys. And I remember the Southern Baptist preachers of old, they never painted this picture of Jesus being a sissy,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, Jesus was a carpenter, and a lot of carpenters I know, they're fairly yoked. You know, I mean, the fact that you're dealing with hand tools all day, I could just see Jesus's hands just monstrous, you know. You could tell a generation by their handshake, and those generation of the early 1900s and mid 1900s, they have hands that it's just, you could tell when you shake a hand of a farmer versus a doctor. Nothing against doctors if you're listening, but the hands of a, you know, a farmer is just, nice to meet you, you know. It's all calloused, you know. Their pinky finger is bigger than both my middle finger and my index finger combined, right? And so I see, when you said mention Jesus, it's like, yeah, I see Jesus flexing, you know. Like, you know, during CrossFit or fire training, it's just like, cool, we're going to flip some farm tires.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to go at it. I see Jesus. I don't see this weak picture of Jesus, you know, being a sissy. Oh, you know, what are you guys doing in my temple, you know, my father's house?
Yeah.
Man, I bet you when Jesus made that cord, the whip, man, I'll use the old King James word of arse. He kicked some arse.
There you go.
You know. But when we talk about zeal, and like you said, I'm not a thesaurus or a Webster's dictionary, but I just see Paul the Apostle. You know, the guy was a Jew of Jews, a priest of priests. And in the book of Acts, he's like, I'm going to kill Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to kill Christians. And it's no different than our current government right now. You know, both in the federal and in some states, you know, that has the West Coast. I guess it involves all of them, really. But, you know, Paul met with the Lord and he changed. But his zeal never changed.
Yeah.
Because I was chewing about that. You know, I was, you know, like how cuds chew.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God took Paul's strong personality, his suits, to aid the ministry, to aid the church. Because he was determined to kill Christians.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus met him. God spoke with him, visited with him, spent time with him, poured into him. He got baptized in the Spirit. But that zeal never changed. That passion, zeal, now is now energized by the Lord for the church.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you for a second, Mike.
Yeah.
Let me read some scripture real quick and say a short prayer so that I know that we're not just spitting our own opinions here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to pray.
Yeah, well, let's do it. So, Revelation 3. You've been in Revelation 2 and 3 a lot lately.
I'm still there.
Yeah, good. So this may ring a bell here. And what I really like about this one, Mike, is it's the last church. Okay, in Revelation 3, so the Laodiceans.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is it doesn't say the church at Laodicea. It says the church of the Laodiceans.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was a little squirrel moment for me, sorry. What I want to read is verse 19 here. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, or chasten, whatever you want to say. Therefore, be zealous and repent. After all that, he says, therefore, right? So therefore meaning because of all the things I previously said to you, therefore, Be zealous and repent. And what I like is my Bible points me to Hebrews 12, verse 6, which says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us tonight, or whatever time you're listening to this, to the listener. Please guide us in this conversation. Let it be full of truth, laced with love, and let it be appropriate for the times that we live in. And let us speak to the listener and to me and Mike. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's talk about Paul, because I think what I just read there is pretty awesome. He didn't lose his zeal. He was chastened. He was blinded for a minute, for a hot minute. And his zeal never went away.
No. I mean, I think zeal can die if you don't, I guess, nurture it.
Yeah, for me, it's if I don't stay in the Word. If I don't know this, my zeal goes away because I'm maybe confused. Maybe. I don't know. 1 John 3. Sorry, 1 John 2. But the anointing which you have received from him, 1 John 3:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So the anointing that it speaks of there would be the Holy Spirit. So you've received the Holy Spirit. It's saying essentially that you can tell a counterfeit. So if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have this word, you should know a counterfeit from the real. And so you're right. I like putting this on Paul. Yeah, he never lost that. But he was also always in this.
Yeah, because his zealousness is backed by the scripture and backed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, to the point, we're not going to get into theology right now with the whole how. I mean, this guy was so zealous, he rebuked Peter.
Yeah, yes, right? He did. Yes, he did.
And you could only do that if you know you're walking with the Lord and you're hearing from the Lord. You know, and you look at Paul, he wasn't perfect. I mean, the guy says, "I count everything I've achieved as dung." I'm like, dude, you're a Roman citizen. You're a priest of priests. You know, in the lineage of what, Gamaliel probably, and all that stuff. And he's like, "Yeah, I just count it as dung," you know. Yeah. And but his zealousness drove him to the Lord, and he can back everything that he did with the fact that he knew the Lord. I mean, the guy wasn't on drugs, and in 2 Corinthians, hey, Lord, can you take this thorn away from my side? It's bothersome. I asked him 3 times. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, "Nah, you know, my grace is sufficient for you, Paulie. You know, I realize my strength is made perfect in your weakness." He didn't say, "Oh, that sucks. Screw this." Like, how many of us do this, right?
Yeah.
But he says, "Therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Mm-hmm. And this is him saying this without Vicodin, without marijuana, without alcohol, without any drugs. It was the scrolls that he had of the scriptures and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you know? And, you know, speaking of zealousness, and I'm sure you can chime in on this. I think a lot of people are turned off by Christians because they're not zealous. Because if I can tie in the joy of the Lord into that, you know, I know Fernando Ortega sings this, "The joy of the Lord will be my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength." Obviously taken from the Psalms. You know? And you, like, I'll use my mom as an example, but I'm sure there's countless others out there. When my mom was going through cancer, she didn't complain. She says, "Lord, just don't, you could take my hair, but don't take away my voice because I could sing to you." And I was just like, what? And then, you know, I come and check on my mom back in the day. "Mom, you're supposed to take all these medications, right?" So the Lord gave me this. I don't need the medicine. The Lord gave me the strength. And I was just like, okay, she's on drugs. You know? I mean, how many of us that's been in fire, been in police, been in, you know, military, you have a blown out knee, blown out shoulder, blown out back, and you get surgery and you're crying for morphine. You're crying for Vicodin.
I get a cold. You know? Come on. I get a cold. Right? I don't want to get out of bed.
The man flu, right?
Yeah.
But Paul, he said what? He has been shipwrecked 3 times, right? Yeah. Or more.
40 but lashes beaten. Minus one.
Yeah. Beaten. Stoned.
Yeah. Left for dead.
Not on drugs or weed. Stoned by, AKA called rocks, left for dead. You know?
Bit by a poisonous snake, just shake it off.
Yeah. I mean, Paul would be a hero today in the cancel culture, you know, but maybe not. But I mean, the guy got through a lot of stuff, but his zeal never stopped. And so, you know, are there times when I've been like down? Yeah, of course, all of us have. But many of us Christians walk secretly or quietly, we have no zeal and we have no joy. And, you know, and maybe there's a purpose for that, so you could minister to somebody, but, and then you have this idea of trying to be a witness, you know. What's that old saying? I don't know who said it, like, be a Christian by example. Use words if needed.
Yeah.
You know, something to that degree.
Yeah.
And so, but how many times, like, have you and I been with coworkers and we know they're Christians and they're like a piece of drywall, you know? Whereas you see someone that's going through a struggle. They busted their knee in line of work. They got shot at. You know, that family in Texas where, is it Dallas, where the Amber something, she mistakenly killed a brother who thought was in her apartment, but she was on the wrong floor, blah, blah, blah. And when the trial came of sentencing, the younger brother is on the testimony stand, looks at the judge, I forgive you, and asks the judge, "Can I give her a hug? Can I give her a hug?" That has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no way, you know, how could you, you know, forgive someone, you know, and you're just like, okay, that kid is living the life of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And he's expressing grace, forgiveness, and mercy to the officer who just shot and killed his brother, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think some Christians that are wearing the uniform right now need to take some pre-workout for their Christian walk.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you there.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I think there's, I think we have a strange two ends of the spectrum here. We have the believers that think that being a believer means you're milquetoast. Okay. And mm-hmm. then we have on the other end, it's the closet believers or the ones that, they don't want to give up the fun world, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, what they perceive as being the fun world. And so, and I've lived on the fun world side. I can't do the milquetoast side. I mean, I just can't. I have a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor, and I can't do that side. But the other side, I've done that. And what I think part of what brings me to this point of zeal, this is another bit of zeal, I think, here, is that you don't. Okay, so let's see, how do I put this? You don't have to give up cursing. You get to give it up. You get to walk away from that. You don't have to give up horror movies. You get to grab onto something better. You don't have to give up porn. You're free from it. You don't have to stop drinking and getting drunk. You get to find joy away from adding a chemical into your body. Mm-hmm. And so when I say, you know, I have zeal for these things, what I'm saying is the things of God are so much better. And you don't understand that until you dive in head first. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is, you know, I like what John Corson says. He says, read your Bible and pray every single day. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of believers out there. I used to be one of them who reads the Bible once a month if it's convenient and it's 5 minutes before bed. Or you get your daily Bible verse. Not knocking that. I think that that's a cool thing. But then you get it outside of context. And you're not receiving the full counsel of God. So I'm walking this fine line right now, and I'm not doing a very good job of walking it, because I have zeal for the Word of God. I have zeal for this faith, and I don't want to be that judgmental guy, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, I don't really judge those who aren't believers, because why would I? How could I have that expectation of them? But if somebody's been a believer for years and they're still looking at porn, they're still attributing this to, you know, this or that to God that shouldn't be. If, you know, living for the weekends because you can go to the bar, and you're saying that you're a believer, you need to get into the Word and figure out what it really means to be a believer. Because I'm gonna tell you what, I'll call you out right now. If you're doing all that stuff, you don't have a solid relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And He wants you to. And He can free you from that stuff. And trust me, the joy will be way better.
Well, you mentioned, you know, the Church of Laodicea, right? You're neither hot, neither cold, but you're lukewarm.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, on a hot day like 99 degrees in Oregon, or hot and humid in Texas and hot and humid in Florida or whatever it might be, it's like, you know, you get a glass of water and you want to drink it, and it's just like, it's one thing to have it room temperature. It's one thing to have it like beyond room temperature, just like, blech. You know, and you're right. I think this past weekend, I finally got a chance to catch up on Jack Gibbs' message. I mean, he's, you know, he's calling people out, right? And so I think it's that whole issue of separating the sheep, you know, and I think those of us that are listening right now, Adam and I, neither Josiah nor Steve, who we're not perfect in any way, but we're forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, and we know that. But we also know in Ephesians 5, it tells us, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. In the Greek, that word filled is continually being filled with the Spirit. And hey, Paul gives you a solution on how to do that, right? By singing to yourselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody unto the Lord. And so, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where I've just learned, like you were saying, read your Bible and pray every single day, you know? And it's not a matter of, you know, yes, we should understand it, but it's a matter of abiding in the vine, right? In John chapter 5, you know, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, you know, and it's funny. Jesus spells it out real simple. He who abides in me, I in him, yeah. Right? And will bear fruit. Will bear fruit, you know. Without me, you could do nothing. And speaking of fruit, man, you know when you bite into an apple and it's just crisp, sweet, and it's refreshing? You're like, man, that is glorious. That is delicious, you know. But when you bite into an apple that's not mature, that's bitter, it's just like, right? Or a banana, a good banana. In Hawaii, they have what's called an apple banana. What? And it's called an apple banana. It's sweet as an apple.
Hey, it's whatever, not, dude. I had so much pineapple when I was there, my mouth was blistering. So I don't know what you're talking
about. It's not a plantain or anything like that, but it's just kind of one of those things where it's just like, oh man, it's so good, right? Hmm. It's just kind of one of those things where if I was a fruit, it makes sense in my head. Let me see if I can make it understandable on air.
Yeah, because I'm excited about this. This is a good start.
So if Jesus is the vine, right? And we are the branches. In that chapter, the Father comes. He's the husbandman, right? The groomer. He's pruning. Those are, you know, uncomfortable. I watched the Curious George episode. Yes, I still watch Curious George with my daughter, who's much older for Curious George. But it's so simple. He was on an apple farm. And the guy was pruning the trees, and George was sticking the branches back into the tree with the mud, and he hid the pruning shears. It got, you know, it made you think. It's like, okay, if I'm reading the Bible, praying every single day, right, I'm abiding in the vine, as the Lord's pruning, changing me, if someone came and took a bite out of my life, what kind of bite would that be? Would it be sweet? You know, would it be, you know, thirst quenching? Would it be, or is it, would it be with the fruit that I bear, you know? Here in Colorado, one of the hard things to get his fruit, especially during the winter, you know, and it's a hit and miss. Like, you spend like a bunch of money on, you know, peaches, nectarines, you cut into, you bite it, right? I wonder if we're fruit or branches that's hanging to the trunk of Jesus, or not, we're actively abiding, like actively connected. And so our fruit just kind of is bland, so to speak, versus, you know, we're positioned on the tree as a branch where the trade wind's coming. And so I have to fight to be on the vine, so to speak. I got to cling to the Lord. So therefore, I'm strengthening my muscles. I'm strengthening. And in that, you know, like, storms coming, Lord. I know it. I'm going to hold on, you know, and that fruit, you know, one of the fruits is what? Love. You know, Jesus says, people will know that you are my disciples by your love. Is our love sweet or is it bitter? You know, and let's do away with the uniform. You know, what if it was just everyday life, our neighbor, you know, as cops and firefighters and soldiers, we only think about those that are around us, you know, who's got your six, but what about the office ladies? You know, what about the janitor? What about the city workers and whatnot? Like, you know, I'm sure you can speak of various towns and how those officers are, right? And those agencies of that have ambulance districts, you know, paramedics and EMTs, and you see their work ethic and you're just like, you know, and I know that's one thing that a lot of troopers get to experience is not just the town, they get to experience the county, both fire, EMS, you know, and you're just like, thank God they don't work with my company, right? But at the same time, it's like, you see people, you run into people, you're like, that guy would be a great addition to the team, you know? And Christians ought to be the hardest working, you know, the people that bosses say, hey, I want to hire you and I want to bring you on team. I remember Skip Heitzik sharing a story a while ago. When he was younger, he was sharing how he was looking for a job that he wasn't qualified for, but he got to the interview and he jumped into the degree. He's like, well, you're not really qualified, you know, for this job, but, you know, why should I hire you? And Skip, I think, was saying that he knew that his job interview was coming to a close. He didn't have the qualifications. He turned around and told the boss, I will be the hardest working employee that you'll ever have. And he got hired right there in that point, you know, and, which speaks a lot of truth about Christian, you know, Christians. You know, Christians ought to be ones that are hardworking, you know. If we could be like the Michael Jordans of Christianity, man. Why? Because Michael Jordan was always there before the game, and he was there after the game. He was always there before practice, shooting. He was always there after practice, right? And if we can apply that kind of zeal to our lives, I think there's an opportunity to gain one or two, you know, brothers or sisters to the Lord. You know, because like the, you know, like the little boy that was introduced who had the fish, right? Through him, why? There's other people that came. And I don't know. I think in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Read your Bible and pray every single day. If I'm delighting in this, my desires are going to be filtered through God, right? His Spirit, his Word, you know? And we're going to have times like Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a robot doing, I need to do the Father's will, right? He was sent by the Lord. In John 8:29, he says, "For I do always those things that please the Father." Why did he do that? Because he knows the Father. He saw the Father do stuff, right? Like, Adam, how many times you look at your kids and they do something because they either saw you or they heard you and they're mimicking you? You're just like, oh, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But Jesus is that perfect example of what the Father did. So therefore, hey, I do those things that please the Father. You brought up alcohol. You brought pornography, right? You got to ask yourself, if I watch pornography, will it please God? There's only one answer. Only one, right? Those idiots out there, yes, I said the word idiots. You're an idiot if you think that you can watch porno and be like, you know, no, that does not work, right? Drugs. If you're married and you're sleeping around, I almost said another word, but with someone else, both girls and guys, that's not how it is. You know, people ask me all the time. I don't know if I want to get into this topic. I'm not going to say the word, but fill in the blank. If I do this, is it wrong? And I tell them, it's like, it's not a matter of if you do that, is it wrong? You got to ask the question, if what I'm doing, is it pleasing to the Lord? Not, hey, if I do this, is it wrong? Is it a sin? I think our conscience wants to know that. But the reality is, hey, if I do this, is it pleasing to Jesus Christ? Because if I'm delighting in him, then he's going to give me the desires of my heart.
And like Paul said, is it beneficial?
Mm-hmm.
God only wants for you what is best for you. And we may look at things and say, well, that's not fun. That, you know, God's like the fun police.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, it all has a purpose. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Case in point, God told the Jews to do the to circumcise their male children when they're 8 days old. He didn't tell them why. Now, millennia later, we know that vitamin K, right? Vitamin K is it at its highest point in the human body when 8 days old, 8 days after birth. That is the safest time. The blood is going to clot the best and everything else. It's just do the word of God. His ways are higher. His thoughts mm-hmm. are higher. It's going to have some excellent results. So, Mike, I think we're calling people out. And I think that's a good thing.
I think you are.
I am. You talked about separating the sheep, right? And I'm gonna take that a little further and talk about separating the sheep from the goats. This is terrifying, okay? Because sheep and goats, they intermingle just fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's the wheat and what is it? Chaff. Is that what it
chaff.
Is? The wheat mm-hmm. and the chaff. And, you know, there's, Jesus tells that parable of the man, you know, the enemy, we'll call him, who planted basically weeds in with the farmer's wheat. And his servant said, well, do we go and, you know, pull the weeds out? And he said, no, if you do that, you're going to uproot everything. We'll wait until harvest season. We'll bring it in. And that's when we'll be able to separate everything, right? Because when they do the threshing, it separates the wheat from the chaff. And then the chaff, this is the terrifying part, gets thrown into the fire. So that's why we want to talk about this today, because do you have the appearance of a believer, but you're not living in a relationship with Christ? That's a terrifying place to be.
Mm.
And maybe you do need a little healthy fear in your life. And I, you know, this is another one of those zeal things for me. Pastors don't talk like this enough. Pastor Hibbs, perfect. I mean, he's not perfect, but his balance, I think, is perfect, right? He talks about the love of Christ. He also talks about the wrath of God. And those are intertwined, okay? If there's an enemy coming after my kids, I'm going to protect them. If I'm only loving them, and if I'm only loving whoever is coming after them, I'm not really truly loving them, am I? Right? If I just allow everything to happen, I'm not really loving them. This, what is the saying? You could love people into hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a truth element. So I want us to be able to share truth on this podcast, even if it's terrifying. And I'm going to read from the book of Jude here. In verse 22, it says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And I love the cap here. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So maybe some of you need to hear a little bit of the fear, because Jesus said that there will be those who show up in heaven, who stand before him and say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name?
Mm.
Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he'll say, away from me, I never knew you. That's scary to me.
You know, you would figure the people that are freaking about the corona hoax, you know, out of the COVID idiots, how can I phrase this to make it nice? When you travel around, you see people, you know, with the mask on, and you have every right to wear your mask. If you're saving your bad breath from me smelling it, thank God, right? But you're also hiding the image of God that created you, your smile and all that. If you're afraid of a so-called a flu, really, it's really a flu. I mean, coronavirus 19 or whatever, it's a flu. It's not a plague. You know, if it was a plague, we would be on our knees as countries begging for God to come back, because it's a plague, right? And we're not going to get into all the corona hoax and theories and all that, but people are so fearful, even especially so-called Christians, you know, that like, hey, you know, there's a thing called sin. It means to miss the mark. And that sin separates you from Jesus. And that sends you to eternity in hell. You know, you're not taking vaccines for that. You're not wearing a mask. And so many people are so faithful to do the temporal, putting on a mask. Well, I'm going to go get the vaccine. Really? Why? Well, because, you know, I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever. Obviously, you know, officers and firefighters that got the vaccine and they got sick, you know, others, whatever. I know pastors that got the vaccine. Great. I recently, you know, flew through the airports and under the federal mandate that you wear a mask, you know, and I was walking around the terminal and it was just so sad to see so many people wearing masks and we're being duped right now, you know? And really, I think the bigger picture of that is the enemy wants to hide the image of God from each other. And on a bigger spiritual note, Christians that are wearing masks, how do you justify that? I created you in my image, you know, and we're hiding. And there are pastors that are getting vaccinated and endorsing the mask. And I'm just like, what are you doing? You know, and in the last days, we need to stand up for our rights. We need to stand up for what we can. And like you said, I think there are a handful of pastors that definitely know how to balance the love of Christ, you know, with a wrath, right? And I think it's just kind of one of those things where if our zeal is into me, myself, and I, you're going to reap me, myself, and I. But I think if our zeal is tied in to our relationship with Jesus Christ, if I'm abiding in him, you know, and God's abiding in me, we're going to bear much fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fruits of righteousness, the fruits of love, long suffering, you know. But like in our line of work, right? Police officers, firefighters, you got to get weak people trained up, right? Call them up. Hey, in that incident, man, I just saw a video of a guy, an officer shooting at a suspect. And of course, 2020 hindsight, but it's like, man, you're shooting your weapon with a guy who's got a knife and your partner is beyond that suspect. And, you know, I thought about that when I saw that scene. I would have had probably a better chance of just going Lyle Alzado or all those football players and all that and just going full on linebacker tackle, you know? I'm hoping the other officer who fell, you know, is not injured, you know, but it's like that training aspect, right? You know, we need to, you know, like Proverbs says, iron sharpens irons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if our lives have become a little dull, hey, we need to go to the knife shop, you know, and get our knife sharpened, so to speak, you know, our tools. And I'll share this story that I rarely ever share. I mean, I can't because mom's in heaven. And I don't think even my brothers really knew this, but my mom had calluses on her knees from praying all the time. You know, like literally, you know, and you know, most women don't want calluses anywhere, right? But yet alone on her knees. That's how often she prayed, you know, to the point where she could pray for hours and her feet wouldn't go numb anymore. And you know, I think about that. It's just like, man, as a father, I don't pray enough for my wife. I don't pray enough for my kids. I don't pray enough for my brothers and sisters in arms. I don't pray enough for my neighbors. you know. So those are the things that, just like, you know, when you talked about zeal, I was like, all right, Lord, guide our conversation, because why? We need it.
Yeah.
You know, because we're channeling that zeal all in the wrong places, where it's in the temporal and not in the eternal.
Yeah, I think we do need to talk about prayer one of these days. You said that, and it's so important to come to the Lord in prayer. And it's not making a list of your demands. He's not a genie. It's reporting for duty. It's connecting with your Father. And we do need to talk about that some more, because prayer is so key. We're in the middle of a spiritual war, and I know we can't see it, but we can feel it. And if I'm not going to war for my wife, if I'm not praying for her, if I'm not praying for my kids, how am I fighting? Or am I just being one that's already thrown up the white flag? But you know what? Unfortunately, in spiritual warfare, throwing up the white flag doesn't mean you're going to stop being attacked. And if it does, it's temporary, because if you have decided you're not going to pray, you're not going to believe anymore, then your spiritual warfare starts when you die, I guess. I don't know. But I'd rather fight now.
I think that's a... Yeah, 100%. I think that's a good subject to talk about next week.
Let's do that. We went a little longer than we talked about, but that's okay.
Yes, it's okay. The Lord knows.
That's right. Go ahead and you want to close this, Mike?
Yes. Father, I do pray that, Lord, whoever might be listening to this podcast or watching this, whoever might be getting snippets, Lord, I would pray that you would just meet with individuals right where they are. Lord, if they're listening to this in a patrol vehicle or listening to this at the firehouse, listening to this on a day off in their porch, wherever they might be, that, Lord, you would meet them and challenge them, but at the same time, Lord, comfort them and convict them as well. But with your conviction comes change. And so, Lord, we do pray and we do ask that you would, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon those that wear the uniform and that wear the badge. Lord, put a hedge of protection around those that call themselves Christians, and yet, Lord, they're walking that thin line. We pray that, Lord, you would walk into their hearts and overturn tables that are unpleasing to you, God, and that, Lord, you would, Lord, put, in a sense, the menorah back on in their hearts, the showbread, the Word of God. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just be with us and comfort those that are hurting right now. And in these last days, help us to be ready to be raptured. But until then, Lord, use us for your purpose and for your glory. We just cry out to you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, we're on Facebook, Instagram. ThinLineBelievers@gmail.com is how you get a hold of us, and ThinLineBelievers.com is a thing. All right. That's it. I guess we're on to watch. See ya.